Welcome to the My Gratitude Speaks workshop of WCNA 31. My name is Shelby and I'm an addict. Can we please open this meeting with a moment of silence followed by the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to Anthony? We didn't hand out the... We were chatting too much. Where are they? Okay. They're in the back.
Do we need to pass them?
Yeah.
So they haven't been passed out?
No.
Guys might want to run down and pass them out.
Is that all of them?
No, you're missing one.
Did he get it? We've asked an addict to read, what is Narcotics Anonymous program?
I'm an addict. My name is Susan. What is the Narcotics Anonymous program? NA is a nonprofit fellowship or society of men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. We are recovering addicts who meet regularly to help each other stay clean. This is a program of complete abstinence from all drugs. There is only one requirement for membership, a desire to stop using. We suggest that you keep an open mind and give yourself a break. Our program is a set of principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. The most important thing about them is that they work. There are no strings attached to NA. We are not affiliated with any other organization. We have no initiation fees or dues, no pledges to sign, no promises to make to anyone. We are not connected with any political, religious, or law enforcement groups and are under no surveillance at any time. Anyone may join us regardless of age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, or lack of religion. We are not interested in what or how much you used, or who your connections were, what you have done in the past, or how much or how little you have, but only in what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. The newcomer is the most important person at any meeting, because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. We have learned from our group experience that those who keep coming to our meetings regularly stay clean.
I've asked an addict to read, why are we here?
Hi, family. My name is Alma, and I am an addict. Hi. Why are we here? Before coming to the fellowship of NA, we could not manage our own lives. We could not live and enjoy life as other people do. We had to have something different, and we thought we found it in drugs. We placed the use ahead of the welfare of our families, our wives, husbands, and our children. We had to have drugs at all costs. We did many people great harm, but most of all, we harmed ourselves. Through our inability to accept personal responsibilities, we are actually creating our own problems. We seem to be incapable of facing life on its own terms. Most of us realize that our addiction, that in our addiction, we were slowly committing suicide. But addiction is such a cunning enemy of life.
Many of us have ended up in jail or sought help through medicine, religion, and psychiatry. None of the methods were sufficient enough for us. Our disease always resurfaced or continued to progress until in desperation we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. After coming to NA, we realized that we were sick people. We suffered from a disease from which there is no known cure. It can, however, be arrested at some point, and recovery is then possible. At this time, I'd like to introduce our first speaker, Buddy Kay from Minnesota.
I'm an addict. My name is Buddy. Here to speak on gratitude. And I have a tremendous amount of gratitude to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous for helping me to find a better way of life. And I want to start out with the fact that I didn't find Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous found me, and I'm really grateful for that. I'm going to get into a little bit of my story, which hopefully will build a foundation for the basis of my gratitude sharing. But, you know, I want to let you know that Narcotics Anonymous knocked on my door. Now, they weren't going door to door in the neighborhood, mind you, but these were two friends of mine that I had used with for years, and they'd found recovery through NA, and they wanted me to have what they had found. So they were taking me to meetings, and this would have been about 1983. However, you know that saying, I wasn't ready yet. And very standoffish. I was going through the motions, but I wouldn't surrender. So, but something happened. The disease progressed over a couple of years and experienced all these harmful consequences and, you know, is devastated, and I reached that point in my process of desperation, that downward spiral that we all go through, where I became willing to listen to someone carrying a message of recovery through Narcotics Anonymous. Now, this time, this message came from a woman who was in the nunnery with my sister in the 1960s, and she flew in from New Orleans to get down to my level of thinking, talking, and to inform me of some options that I had. I guess you call it an intervention. But she became familiar with Narcotics Anonymous in a federal penitentiary. And I know that's a breach going from the nunnery to a federal penitentiary, but stay with me for a moment. It's like, you know, I was so devastated. You know, strike when the metal is hot is how I call it. That's how I put it. And I was just ready. I was in so much pain. I talk about, you know, the gift of desperation, you know, and I have a tremendous amount of gratitude for having reached that point of desperation where I could no longer sit on the fence, but I was pushed into the process of recovery when I could have been pushed the other way off the fence and into a life of continued use and survival and eventually physical death. So I'm really grateful to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous that I did reach this point in my process, and someone was there to carry this message to me. You know, she took me to a Monday night Northside meeting in Minneapolis, Twin Cities, Minnesota. That's where I saw the miracle of recovery happening. I don't know how much I heard. I was pretty much into myself, and I was very mentally disturbed, emotionally disturbed, and going through a lot of different withdrawals from different classes of drugs. And, you know. But I saw something, I heard something. I saw people getting up there and sharing as honestly as they could what had happened, you know, what it was like and what had happened, what they were doing for their recovery that day. And it was a speaker meeting. And I remember some of the individuals that are there. And I'm grateful to say that they're there today. You know, they're still in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm grateful to our predecessors. But anyways, you know, I pretty much started feeling a tremendous amount of gratitude in those early days because, you know, I came upon the realization that I'd been given this daily reprieve for my act of addiction, and it was something that I hadn't seen for years and years. You know, each and every waking moment was, you know, the obsession was present, the everyday obsession, 18 hours a day, and to have that lifted somehow and to have it interrupted is tremendous proof of what this program can do, because I was very conditioned addict, you know, to getting and using and finding ways and means to give more. I think our literature puts it very well. And, you know, that's one of the things that I always like to talk about, you know, that strong of a obsession and preoccupation with my drugs of choice, and to have that lifted is the strongest evidence that I have of a God of my understanding working in my life on a regular basis. And, you know, that obsession was lifted, and I'm really grateful for that. In the first week, and no later than the second week of my recovery, and, you know, it was such a gift, you know, that, such an overwhelming relief to have that thought process that was so indelibly etched into my brain, to have that lifted from me. So I'm really grateful, you know, for that. And I always talk about that whenever I share. Because, you know, sometimes people say, I'll never lose this desire. I'll always want to use. And I'm going to let you know right now, my desire to use has not returned. I've had fleeting thoughts of it, but I don't allow those thoughts to lock in. And I've been so involved in Narcotics Anonymous and surrounded myself with the Narcotics Anonymous program that, you know, I got a saying, who's got time to use? There are so many good things to do in this program. And I'm really grateful for that. I never have time to get bored. I never have time to be depressed. You know, I'm really grateful for that. I mean, it's like sometimes like that reading in the Just for Today book talks about, you know, we complain about I got to do this and then I got this to do. Thank you. Thank you. And and I need to remember that at times I did nothing but use each and every day. That was my goal, each and every day. My goal after getting high was to get high or to get higher. That was it. So I'm really grateful that I have a busy life with all these things to do. Here I am in Hawaii, and there's so many fun things to do. I'm sort of like I'm sitting there at points where I'm thinking, God, you know, I'm not going to have enough time to do this, or there isn't enough time to do that. We've been here for, 14 days by the time we leave, you know. You know, let's whine about it, right? You know, I couldn't even get out of the city of Minneapolis except to go cop, and here I am in paradise, you know, with a bunch of wonderful addicts from around the world that has definitely come together to celebrate the miracle of recovery. And for that, I'm really grateful. You know, the other thing I always like to talk about is, you know, the debt of gratitude I have for my sponsor. My first sponsor that I got within the first week or two of my recovery, also in my home group, which, by the way, I hear everyone announcing their home group, is the Wednesday night Candlelight Bakery in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, South Side, 2 blocks off Lake Street. Come up, I'll buy you a breakfast, lunch, or dinner. We meet in the evening, so I guess it'll be dinner. So we go out and fellowship afterwards, or you can come to the Harrelson party. So. Extremely grateful for the people that were here in the rooms and that stayed here until I arrived, came crawling into this fellowship in 1985. And in my home group, there's 6 of my predecessors that are there today, and it's not orchestrated or coordinated. We just happen to come together, you know, and I think that's truly a blessing. I need to see the people that came before me, and that's why, you know, it's really important that I stick and stay, you know, that I remain a visible member and example of what this program has to offer to the next addict that walks in, you know. tomorrow, next week. It really doesn't matter. And also to be here to support those of us and to get the support that I need in order to sustain my recovery. You know, that's vitally important. Here's something I was going to say to the end, and I don't think it's near the end yet, but I'm going to say it anyways. And it's like, I'm grateful that I haven't reached the point in my process where I feel like I can operate independently of the fellowship, operate and survive independently of the fellowship. And I'm really grateful for having that ingrained. And I guess that's because Narcotics Anonymous has been such an important part of my life. It's not just something I do on certain days of the week, but it's something, you know, that I try to do to the best of my ability each and every day. And it's a message that I carry to anyone, you know. No matter where I run into them, whether it's at work or you know, on the streets or in the family or you know, whatever the case may be. I've worked really hard to become an acceptable, responsible, productive member of society. And I've done that through following the suggestions and watching the examples that came before me and came in after me. We got positive examples that have been here for you know, weeks. It doesn't take years and years of recovery to get this program working in our lives, and that's really the beauty of the program. We don't have to wait until we have so much time until we can reap the benefits of this program. You know, another thing I want to touch on, I think I got off track with my sponsor. You know, it's like, here's a person that was very involved in Narcotics Anonymous. I fell in with a group of people that were involved in service in the fellowship when I arrived. And it's like, you know, it was like, these people were what we call happy, joyous, and free. They were doing things. You know, it's like they were just enjoying the hell out of their lives. And, you know, a big part of that was being of service to this fellowship. I mean, they were in the rooms each and every day because I was doing the meeting a day thing, you know. I needed to do that. I used every day, so I needed to go to meetings every day. And, you know, what that allowed me to do was to get familiar with a group of individuals that truly had become comfortable in this fellowship and really had a lot of gratitude for what was given them, and they were ready to pass that on to me, and they did. So I was DSR within the first two months, and I passed it on. Anyways, I know the recommendations, but I did a hell of a job, you know. My first ASC was at Elliott Park. I remember asking, you know, out of the blue, what the hell you ask them that for? They were going through some kind of, you know, questioning. What do we do? You know, what are your qualifications? And I knew I didn't have all the answers that 2 months right then and there. You know, someone pulled me aside. I think it was my sponsor. So anyways, getting back to the sponsorship piece, really indebted to the sponsor that I have had at that time. I've had two sponsors over the duration of my recovery, and this is an individual who really very involved, very active, and he was there for me. You know, he's one of the people that loved me until I could love myself, and I needed that. I needed that love, that compassion, that understanding, just the ability and capacity to listen. You know, not really fully understanding me, but just to be there to listen while I sounded off. You know, and sharing things with me, getting me through the steps the first time around, and, you know, supporting me, being there for me when I needed to make that phone call, settling me down when my emotions would jump out for whatever reason. Because I was an angry young addict when I came into the rooms. And now I'm just a young addict. And, you know, I'm grateful for that individual. You know, about the 8 or 9 year mark, I needed to move on, and another sponsor presented himself in my life, and he had some qualifications or qualities that I wanted to be a part of my life, and that's, you know, a type B personality, more laid back, more comfortable, pretty much contrary to what I am. So this is the person that I've been working with over the number of years, and they've been a vital part of my recovery. And he doesn't really offer a whole lot of information. All I know, he's there when I need him. You know, we go through the steps together. He's a part of my life. We, you know, we're friends. We get together and, you know, do lunch and things like that. And, you know, it's like, it's been very valuable for me. The other thing I want to talk about is the fact that my parents were there, you know, for 175 years of my life. You know, I think that's pretty damn incredible. You know, my dad, he lived until he was 90. My mom lived until she was 85. And, you know, they stayed by me and stood by me through thick and thin, no matter what. And she was the one who really became concerned and invited this person from New Orleans, Lynn, to fly up and do an intervention. So my mother was so grateful to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, and I know she wants to thank you right now, wherever she may be. So, brought tears to her eyes. She went to the World Convention in New Orleans in 1987. She went to the meetings. I mean, she didn't sit in a workshop. You know, really didn't thrill her that much. She had other interests like shopping and eating in the French Quarter. But, you know, she went and she sort of supported me as I went through that process, and I was so grateful. You know, I didn't have this, you know, what the hell do you have to go to those meetings for still? Or what do you do? My mom would say, you know, it's okay. You know, it's your birthday. It's Christmas. It's New Year's. He needs to be in his meeting. You know, it's a wedding. It's a funeral. He needs to be at this convention. You know, she understood. And I was so grateful to this fellowship. My dad, I remember picking up the IP. What was it? I can't remember exactly what it was, but I remember him saying, we were in the car, I remember him saying that you'll be a lot better off without them, you know? It was something related to drugs. And I don't know, I thought I kept it pretty much a secret from him, but I guess he knew more than I thought he knew. You know, my dad had so much good advice, I can't even believe it, and I'm really grateful to the upbringing that I had and the parenting that I had. I had a good childhood. I had a good childhood, and it was easy. And I'm grateful for that. Grateful for the fact that I have some spiritual principles that have been working in my life. We always talk about the honesty, the open-mindedness, and the willingness. And when I talk about honesty, what I talk about is that I need to get honest enough with you to let you know what's going on with me. You know, when I come into the rooms or when I get together with my sponsor or even my sponsees who have been a tremendous amount of support. And I need to let people know what's going on with Buddy K. You know, we think when we get some time, we have to shield ourselves from other individuals and not let them into our inner thoughts, inner worlds, inner feelings, because at this point we should have things somewhat together, and it doesn't work that way. And here I got it. So honesty is obviously a big factor. Took me a long time to get in touch with that spirit of honesty, you know, the spiritual principle. Next thing I talk about is open-mindedness. I have to have that degree of open-mindedness to listen, to remain teachable, to listen and hear and sort of like understand what's being said in the rooms. Keep an open-mindedness as far as what the information, the experience, strength, and hope that's being shared in the rooms, you know, at that time. And listen with an open mind, you know. I like that sentence out of our text, you cannot graft new ideas to a closed mind, you know, and it's like, it really, really hits home for me. I always use that saying. The next thing we talk about is willingness, and the willingness to apply some of the experience, strength, and hope, the suggestions, the things that have worked for people in the past, you know, don't do this, this won't work, I've tried that before, and maybe using that information, it's a valuable tool. You know, I think that's what this is all about. We come together and share information with one another, share our joys, our triumphs, as the lady put it last night, and, you know, also our failures, you know. You know, we fail at something, we come right back and, you know, give it another shot. I think that's really important that we do that. We don't give up no matter what. Obviously, we didn't give up, otherwise we wouldn't be here. And the other things that I like to talk about is surrender, you know. It's like, I didn't quit, I surrendered to the program of Narcotics Anonymous, and I was grateful. That was such an easy process. It took me a number of years, but by the time I got here, I was ready. I was ready to surrender. I mean, the unmanageability of my life we talked about in the first step, the powerlessness was so evident, I was ready to give up. I was suicidal, I was terminal, and obviously chronic, so I was ready and willing to do whatever was suggested. Forgiveness has been an important part of my recovery, and practicing the spirit of forgiveness, you know, when I forgive, I can be forgiven. That's really an important part of my recovery, in all aspects of my recovery, from service to relationships to whatever, to work, you know, things like that, wherever it may be. The other thing I like to talk about that I really need to stay in touch with is staying humble and the spirit of humility, you know. The ego part, easing God out, I need to remember that I'm just another human being in the process of recovery, a work in progress. and I need to stay away from the perfection piece. And I try to hold myself to too high of a standard. And acceptance. I have a tremendous amount of acceptance for whatever is going on. There's certain things I'm not going to tolerate, you know. But I have a tremendous amount of acceptance for people. I have acceptance for things that have happened in my life, you know. Like the death of my father was very difficult in 93. And tremendous amount of acceptance. I mean, he was 90, you know, and we had a great relationship. You know, growing up, and it was interrupted, you know, in my adolescent years, how, you know, that's how things go, whatever, and we got back together. Even in my addiction, we were still pretty close, and definitely in my recovery. He'd go to the chili feed over at the VOA on a Wednesday night, you know, when they had their party. I think that was really cool. You know, as I look out into the audience, I want to definitely thank those people that were there for me. You know, when I crawled into the rooms, people that I'd used with before and people that I had just met in the rooms, and they kept me coming back, you know, loving me until I could love myself. I always say this fellowship took me hostage. You know, like I say, I fell in with a bunch of individuals that were in love with the fellowship and in love with service and in love with the light that they'd been given. And at 40 Days Clean, I was off to a world convention in Washington, D.C., and that's when I truly had a better understanding of what this worldwide fellowship was growing to become, and it's just evolved and developed ever since then. And I'm really grateful that I've stayed to watch it and maybe be a part of that and contribute some small, minute amount to that. And if there's anything that I can do or say to keep another addict coming back or to get them into their rooms through the helpline process, you know, so be it. You know, the very important thing for my recovery has been service. Acceptance. And acceptance of the loss of my mother in 99. And it's like, that was just such a... you know, for me to be there, she had a stroke like in 95, and I became like the main person to provide care. Before that, it was my brother and sister because they're not addicts or whatever. And they were there for her. You know, they weren't so involved in other matters like I was. So they were there for her. So now it was sort of like my turn to be there for her. I was a social activity coordinator. I mean, we were doing everything and going everywhere. You know, and she couldn't really converse like she once had. She never lost the ability to curse. Never heard her curse until she had that stroke. And she gained some words and vocabulary that is not in our basic text, let's put it that way. You know, whether it was the doctor or whoever it may be, you know, it was really, really interesting because she was really a sweet lady. And I'm grateful for having that opportunity to be there for her and give her back some of the love that she gave me all them years, you know. And, you know, when she came, when she finally died, it was like, you know, I got a call at work and they said, your mother's gone to a better place, you know, and I was thinking, Hawaii? Anyways, but, and, you know, it finally, I don't know whether it was a sense of relief, you know, for her, or a sense of relief for me, or what the case may be, but it was like, yeah, you know. My supervisor at that time, she came into my office, and I just broke down and cried like a baby, you know. And I'd been crying for years, you know, over the fear of the loss of my mom, you know. You know, I'd call the paramedics, and they'd come, and they'd say, who do we take, you or her, you know. And it's like, because I'd be in such a, you know, emotional state over it. And so when she did die, I was ready for that, you know. I prepared myself emotionally, and I was able to sit in the room with her, you know, for a couple hours, you know, while she was just dead, you know, but just reflecting, you know, all the way back to childhood and the good things, you know, the wonderful memories, and, you know, how proud she was of me, you know. She was so proud of me. I mean, she was so proud of me that she would, you know, we were talking about typing papers when you go back to college, you know. I started a four-year degree in 1972 and, you know, rudely interrupted by addiction. I'm grateful that I was able to resume that education and, you know, has allowed me to do what I want to do to a certain extent. She was a part of that support. You know, I'd say, hey, I got an A. You know how exciting it is? You know, we miss one out of 100 and we go, damn. Anyways, it's like she was there, you know, she was there. She typed the papers. Now here's a woman, she's wearing triple bifocals, whatever. She can't really see this old Royal typewriter, you know, it's about probably 1988 as I'm going through this program, you know, training for a career, and she was there, and so just thinking about stuff like that. She did PI work, you know. We do a PI presentation at a fall conference, and she'd be a part of that. You know, here we are, you know, in dim light, folding these, you know, 3,000 flyers, whatever, for this fall conference thing, you know. Incredible stuff, you know, so I wanted to touch on that. I'm extremely grateful for the sponsees that have been a part of my life, and they continue to teach me about this program and this new way of life in a lot of different ways by their example, et cetera, and they also remain teachable. And I'm really grateful to those individuals, some of them that are here, and obviously some of them that are not here. You know, I look out into the rooms and I see these familiar faces that I've been sitting in the rooms with and sitting in the dens of iniquity with over the years, and it's like such a damn miracle to see us all here, you know. I'm wired, and you know, you got everyone from newlyweds to, I mean, you have it. I mean, it's really neat looking out into the audience, you know. Seeing individuals that have been a part of my service history in the old Upper Midwest region, you know. We drive 240, 250 miles to do a regional service over a three-day period. Go, get there on Friday, you know. Do a meeting, do service all day Saturday, and leave on Sunday. I see those individuals here, you know. So we all, for some reason, we see certain pieces that are really important to our recovery. You know, these are the rewards of recovery, you know. Used to be join the Navy, see the world. I say, you know, now, you know, find N.A. or let N.A. find you and see the world, because it's been a world tour, you know. And that's how I reward myself. Is by going to world conventions. That's just one simple reward. Obviously, I've got the daily reprieve for my active addiction, which is the ultimate reward. I always forget to share my gratitude for this wonderful relationship that I'm in, marriage. You know, did our honeymoon in Hawaii in 2003, so we're newlyweds. So there is hope for you that are, you know, under 60 or 55, whatever, you know, you can find someone. If I can find someone that, you know, is willing to marry me, I'm sure anybody can. If that's what you're looking for, be careful what you ask for, because it may be wonderful. It is just an absolute wonderful thing. And I was sure that we haven't had an argument yet. Is that possible? Huh? We haven't had an argument yet. It's on tape. And I'll let you know when we do have our first argument, if it does happen. You know, the reason I think that is because we love each other so much that we're willing to say, okay, you know, yeah, we have certain things. We have certain ways of doing things, or certain likes and dislikes, but, you know, we can compromise. Let's put it that way. I look out and see all these people from all over the world, and people that I've known for all of my recovery, some 85ers, you know. It's just such a reinforcing thing, you know, and I'm truly grateful for that. I got 4 pages of notes up here. I haven't gone through any of them yet, but so how do I show my gratitude? By sticking and staying. What do I mean? Sticking and staying, being present, being of service, you know. Hospitals and institutions have been an important part of my recovery. You know, I've been doing H&I since Karen and I got on the committee, and you were chair at about 4 months or whatever, and it was like just doing hospitals and institutions, you know, on a regular basis has been such an important part of my recovery process, carrying this message. And I guess that's how I show my gratitude, you know. My gratitude speaks when I care and when I share with others the NA way. I mean, that's really important, being part of public information, just being of service in any way, shape, or form that I can. I don't care whether it's picking up chairs, setting up a meeting, sharing at a workshop, you know. It's unlimited. Sponsoring others, and just staying present and showing others that this is a program that will work for them too, and service can be fun, you know. I've had struggles through service in certain positions, but for the most part, it's been quite an easy ride, you know. And I really have, a, I think, a, a tremendous ability to work with others. You know, I don't know how they'd see it, but, you know, I can do that. I can sit on a committee, you know, and say, you know, where that always hasn't been possible. So, numerous opportunities to serve, and as I grow as a result of that, I've grown in so many different ways. You know, it's like I'm a really shy, introverted individual, and it's like, you know, if it's time to speak to the judges, the prosecutors, the district attorneys, drug court, you know, I just show up, suit up, and do what needs to be done, you know, and I just share, you know, what this program is all about. That's all I can do. You know, people have been asking me, or my wife has been telling people that I'm doing a workshop, and it's like I was hoping I could keep it a secret. I was here at about 8:40, and I was the first one in the room, and that's a first for me, for anything, to be here. You know, we walked in, we grabbed the chair right up front, and yeah. You know, I want to touch on one thing, and it's out of the, I want to say this one thing and then speak for another half hour. I coined that line. You may have heard it. All right. And there's so much stuff in our Just for Today book on gratitude. There's like about 8 or 10 entries. But one thing is we recognize our spiritual growth when we're able to reach out and help others. And what a powerful thing that is, you know. To make a difference in the world, to contribute something special, is perhaps the highest aspiration of the human heart. Each one of us, no matter what our personal makeup, has a unique quality to offer. We need to remember that. We all bring something special into the rooms. Chances are that sometime in our recovery, we met someone who reached us when no one else could. It happened for me. May have happened for you. Whether it was someone who made us laugh at our first meeting, a warm and compassionate sponsor, or an understanding friend who supported us through an emotional storm, that person made all the difference in the world. All of us had the gift of recovery shared with us by another recovering addict. For that, we are grateful. We express our gratitude by sharing freely with others what was given to us. The individual message we carry may help a newcomer only we can reach. We need to always remember that. You know, I need to be kind to the newcomer. He may be my sponsor someday. I've seen it happen. I need to be kind to the newcomer. He may be my sponsor someday. There are many ways to serve our fellowship. Each of us will find that we do some things better than others, but all service work is equally important. If we are willing to serve, we're sure to find that particular way to contribute what's right for us. Just for today, my contribution makes a difference. I will offer a helping hand today. There was a man walking along the beach, and he came up upon a young boy of 9 or 10, and he was picking these things off the beach called starfish and throwing them back into the ocean. And this soldier gentleman, he approached the young man, and he says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm throwing starfish back into the ocean so they don't die." He says, "Well, there's hundreds and thousands of them. How can it, you know, possibly make a difference?" He looked at the one he had in his hand. He threw it back in the ocean. He says, "It makes a difference to that one." And that's what we need to remember. We make a difference to that one person, that one special way that only we can reach, that we can only do. So remember that, you know. And with that, I want to thank you for letting me share. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Now I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Cindy from Oregon.
Oh my God. They don't know me. Oh no, wait a minute, I don't know them. My name is Cindy and I'm an addict. Just for today, it's okay to be me.
Yeah.
No. Oh, my God. Thank you for being here. Thank you to the people that I know are here because they love me. He said, "It's easy." He said, "Don't worry, it'll be okay. It's easy." It's like, it's okay. He did save me some time, though, because he read the part out of here that I was going to read. So I have time to talk about how I do that. And when I first got asked to do this, I thought, my gratitude speaks. I have to share about gratitude. Oh, my God. You know, gratitude is, how long can I take that? I know what I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for so many things since I got to this program. And I thought, but how do I make that into half an hour? And I just did not know how I was going to do that. And I thought about it, and I thought about it. I got out the basic text, and I read everything I could find on gratitude, because that's where I find my answers today, is in the basic text. This is the book that saved my life. In the middle of the night when I was alone and I couldn't sleep and I didn't know what to do, I read the book. You know, when I have a question and I don't know how to answer it, I read the book. You know, and it's all there for me. You know, I am in the book, and I am so grateful for the program of Narcotics Anonymous and for the steps. You know, but I listened to people share in meetings, and I read the book, and I talked to people, and I thought about this, and, you know, maybe I obsessed about it once in a while, and one day I went, my gratitude speaks. When I care and when I share the NA way. So I don't have to go up there and say the 7,000 things I'm grateful for since I got to this program. You know, when I got to this program 8 years ago, I walked in the doors and somebody told me to make a gratitude list, and I wasn't grateful. I wasn't grateful for anything, you know, but I had 5 things on that list I put down because I was pretty damn sure I was supposed to be grateful for them. And I wasn't, you know, but I knew I was supposed to, and I put them on the list and I kept them there. And today that list could, you know, I don't know if there's enough pages to put down all of the stuff I'm grateful for. This program has saved my life. It's changed my life. And I didn't come here to get clean. I didn't come here to figure out how to have fun or, you know, all I wanted when I walked through the doors of Narcotics Anonymous was to stay alive long enough to figure out how to stay alive long enough to raise my kids. That's all I was looking for. You know, and Narcotics Anonymous found me too. It was at a bus stop. You know, it was at a bus stop, and there was somebody there that I knew, and I picked him up, and I gave him a ride to where he was going, and on the way he told me about Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and I've been trying to figure out how to stay clean for a while. You know, and I'd say I'm not going to do this anymore, and I would, you know, go through the whole, you know, hour, and I'd be right back there, you know. At 5 o'clock, I'd be standing on the front porch with my hand out, you know, and that's just the way it was for me. I was living in a dope house, and I didn't want to do dope anymore. And he told me about Narcotics Anonymous, and I thought, you know, maybe that would work for me. Maybe I could try that, because nothing else did. And I didn't go to a meeting that day. I didn't go to the meeting that month. But I tried one more time to quit, and I went away. I went out of town, and I went to my grandparents' place for Christmas. And when I got back, things were different in my house, you know, and there wasn't any dope when I walked in the door. And for 3 days, there wasn't anything, and things were really ugly there. You know, because when you've got a couple of addicts in the house who don't have any dope and they really want some, it gets kind of ugly. And by the time that was over, I thought, you know, if this is the way it is, I just don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. And I picked up the phone and I called that man. And I said, I need to do something different. Will you take me? And he took me to a meeting at Narcotics Anonymous. And there were people there that cared. And there were people there that shared with me how they did this. And I went to a meeting that day, and he would go with me. He would take me to meetings, and he would talk to me on the phone, and I'd sit on my couch at home, and I would, you know, I would shake. And like I said, I lived in a dope house, so there'd be somebody in the other room doing dope. There'd be people in and out all the time. And I'd sit on my couch, and I'd shake, and I'd talk to him on the phone, and I'd get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I'd go to a meeting, and I would stay in meetings all day long. And, you know, I'd fall asleep in the chair at the meeting at 11 o'clock at night, and I'd finally get up, and I'd go home, and I would shake, and I'd stay at my house. And I didn't get clean that way.
you know, because I couldn't get clean in a dope house. You know, I thought I was going to, all I wanted to do at that point was just stop doing the bad drugs so I could get my shit together for a little while longer. And one day I went, you know, maybe I should quit getting loaded before the meeting. And after that, I started to hear a little bit more stuff. And I thought, and I started hearing about, you know, people changing their lives and things that were different. And I got a sponsor, and I still wasn't clean, but I got a sponsor, and she said, here's the first step. I want you to do it. And on that list was a list of questions on, one of them was, what drugs have you used and when did you start using them? And I did the list and I put it down and I said, and it said, and I read it back to myself, and I started drinking as an infant, you know, and I was stealing drinks by the time I could lift a glass, and I didn't ever have a moment that I could remember, you know, 6 months when I didn't have some kind of mood or mind altering substance in my life. And I went, that's why I need to stop everything. Because I've never, ever experienced life without it, and I don't know what that's like. So maybe if I got clean for a year, I would see what that's like, and maybe it would be okay. And if not, you know what? It ain't going anywhere. And that's the truth. Because today, after 8 years, it's still out there. It wouldn't take me 2 minutes from walking out that door to find something to start with. So I got clean for a year, and it was hard, and it sucked, and after a year, life was still really hard, and it sucked, and I thought, you know, maybe I'll try it for another year. It's got to get better than this. And during that time, I started going to meetings, committees, and I joined the literature committee, and I started doing hotline, and I secretaried, I don't know, 3 or 4 meetings probably, and here and there, and at 9 months clean, one of the groups needed a secretary, treasurer so bad they waived the clean time for me, and I just really got involved, and it didn't make any difference to me what I was doing. I would empty ashtrays, or I would set up chairs, and I didn't know I had a desire to stay clean yet. You know, one day I went, you know, because it says you're a member of this program when you say you are, you know, and all you need is a desire to be a member. And I didn't think I had that when I got here, because I didn't see any reason why I needed to quit drugs. But I kind of revised that thinking since I got here, because I'd go to meetings and people would get into fights or they would throw chairs, and I seen that stuff happen, and I was scared of my shadow. You know, I was afraid to come out of the room, and somebody would yell or talk a little loud, and I would go home, and I'd throw up on my couch, and I'd cry for a couple hours or a day. And the next day, I'd go back to that same meeting, and sometimes I'd wind up sitting right next to that same person, you know, because I wanted something different so bad that I was willing to do whatever it took. I had to make a decision when I got here to do whatever the hell it took to stay clean. And what I know is that's the one thing that hasn't changed since I got here, is I am willing today to do whatever the hell it takes to stay clean. Because I've seen what happens when you don't. I've buried a lot of friends. I've buried a sponsor. I had a sponsor who spent a lot of time in a psych ward. I've had friends that I care about that have died. You know, I don't want to bury any more of my friends, but I don't want my friends to have to bury me either. You know, and the way that I show my gratitude today is that I do that. I go, because giving back what I've got is, I can have all the gratitude in the world, but if I'm not giving it back to you guys, what good is it? You know, I need to show that. I need to share that with you. I need to care, you know, and I do care enough about my fellow addict, about myself, because if I don't put anything into this program, you know, if we don't all put everything we have to offer into this program, and we all got different stuff to offer. Sometimes it's a little bit that I got, and sometimes it's a whole lot, but it's what I got today. You know, and every day I do the best that I can today. And if each one of us can do that, this program will grow and it will thrive. And when it came to sharing recovery, I didn't always think that I had something to offer, you know, and I'd go to meetings and I would think, you know, that my stuff wasn't as good as somebody else's stuff, or that I didn't have anything to offer. And I remember I have this friend who would point out to me on a regular basis that, you know, you need to share. You have a message that you need to share. And I remember sitting in this convention one time in Oregon, and it was a convention on, it was a workshop on taking medication and recovery. And I've had 5 surgeries, and I've had migraine headaches on a regular basis, and I've had a little bit of experience with taking pain medication and recovery, and I've managed to do that successfully for 8 years without getting loaded. So in that meeting, I had something to offer, and I could not open my mouth. And all the time, I'm thinking about this friend of mine that's saying, you know, you need to share. You need to share because you've got something to offer. And I'm thinking he's going to be mad at me. I can't do this. I could not open my mouth. And all I could think of is he's going to be mad at me. I can't do it. You know, and I didn't share. You know, but there came a time when I was sitting in a meeting one day, and I'm sure we've all been in that meeting where the chairperson shares for 35 minutes, and they start at birth, and they go through the present time, and they tell you every drug they've ever used, and every crime they've ever committed, and every horrible thing that's ever been done to them or they've done, you know. And there were probably 75 people in this room, and maybe 18 of them were newcomers, and half of them had walked out by the time this guy was done. And I was crawling out of my skin, and I'm thinking about that friend of mine that was telling me that I had a responsibility to give back to this program, and that when I'm hearing a message that ain't okay, that I need to share about that, you know, and or that I need to share recovery. I don't need to share about that. I need to share recovery. And I've been to that meeting like 5 years before when I first got clean, and that meeting sucked then, and I never went back. And this girl had come to town, and she was from out of town, and she wanted to go to a meeting. And I'm like, you know, I'd love to go to a meeting with you while you're here. And you give me a call, and we'll go to a meeting. And so she calls me, and it's, you know, the evening of that meeting. And I'm like, that's the only meeting in Portland. Oh, my God. You know, I'm like, I would love to go to that meeting with you. And I went to that meeting, and that guy shared for 35 minutes, and I thought, you know, this meeting sucks. And it hasn't changed a bit. So for 5 years, I didn't go to that meeting because that meeting sucked. And then at that point, I went to that meeting, and I realized that that meeting sucked, and that was why I had to go to that meeting, you know, because it was my responsibility. And when he was done sharing, I read that part in our literature that says we don't care where you come from or what you've done, or, you know, all we want to know is what your problem is and how we can help. And I shared that, and then I talked about how when we get to this program, we don't know how to share recovery. We don't know what we're talking about. You know, all we know is that we're here in this room because, I don't know, what do we know? I was in the room because I don't want to live like I was living anymore. Some people are in the room because they need to get a slip sign, but I'd say pretty much all of us are in the room because we're addicts and we need to learn how to do something different, but we don't know how to do that when we walk in the door. You know, I didn't know how to share when I walked in the door, but I do today, and I have a responsibility to do that, you know. And so I shared about how not everybody knows how to do that, you know, and that maybe we can allow for that and share recovery so that other people learn how to do that. And then I shared recovery, you know, to the best of my ability. And when I say that, there's this little part inside of me that says, yeah, you don't really know how to share recovery, you know, but there's the other part of me that says, you know what, that's bullshit, because today you do. And I'm really grateful for that, because what that means to me is that I'm in recovery, and that I have a chance to stay clean. I have a chance to live a different way and not ever have to go back to where I was. And I've experienced some things in the last 8 years since I've been clean that, if I can have an opportunity, they've been so fantastic. You know, I'm in Hawaii at a world convention in front of, you know, you guys, That's the biggest deal I can even imagine. It felt like being asked to perform at the World Series, for crying out loud. You know, it's like, oh my God. And I had the first really fabulous birthday party of my whole entire life a couple of years ago. It was the greatest feeling I can remember having. My friends showed up and they didn't make my birthday suck. And if I get to feel that, like I feel right this minute, one more time in the rest of my life, it's worth everything else that I have to feel. It's worth every minute of staying clean for the rest of my life if I get to feel like this one more time. And so when I come up and share today, or when I sit in a meeting and share, or when I sit with a sponsee and share, or listen to them share, that's how I show my gratitude to this program. I want to be able to share my gratitude for this program every minute of my life, because this program has given me a life. You know, the life I had, I didn't want back. I didn't come here to get my life back because it's the reason I was loaded. You know, every minute of my life before I got loaded, you know, was what I got loaded about. You know, all the childhood abuse, all the horrible, horrible things that I experienced, that's the stuff I got loaded over. That's the stuff. And I figured out after a while that, like, my parents, they quit beating me 30 years ago or 20 years ago or whatever it was, you know. My stepfather has been in prison for 25 years now. He quit making my life miserable a long time ago. I picked up where they left off, and I carried that ball for a really long time. And today, I get to put it down, and I get to be good to myself. I get to be good to others. I get to be good to my kids. My kids didn't ever have to experience the things that I experienced as a kid. And, thank you. It's good to be loved today, and I didn't know that either when I got here. When I came to the program in Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't want to feel anything for you, and I didn't want you to feel anything for me. And today I'm grateful to be loved. It's not always easy to say. And I'm grateful to love, which is probably harder to say. I spent years in therapy since I've been clean. I got this therapist, I'll go in there and I'll sit down, and she's the same one I've had a whole time, and she'll say things to me like, okay, Cindy, now we're going to talk about the F word, feelings. Because when I got clean, I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to feel, I didn't know how to experience any of that stuff. When I first got clean, I had this woman, and I was sitting in a meeting, and she looked at me and she said, Cindy, put your coat on, you're cold. I didn't know that. I didn't feel it. You know, I remember the first time I felt that thing in my stomach, and I went, God, I think that's hunger. Maybe I'm supposed to eat. I didn't feel it. I didn't know how to feel. It took me a really, really long time to learn how to do that. Today, I feel a whole bunch of things, and gratitude is one of them. I feel, you know, anger sometimes. And I feel happiness and joy and love. And it's really, really worth it to feel. And I wouldn't give that up for anything. You know, and my experience is not that I came to Narcotics Anonymous and never wanted to use drugs again. When I listen to somebody say something wonderful like the compulsion to use was lifted for me, I think, what would that be like? You know, I didn't have that experience. Sometimes I still want to get loaded so bad it makes me shake. You know, and I had a little bit of clean time, and some guy was in a meeting and he was sharing. He had years, years and years clean, and he said that there were a lot of times when he just sat on his hands and he still wanted to get loaded. And I thought, two things ran through my head almost simultaneously. One of them was, oh my God, I could feel like this forever. But the other one was, even if I do, I don't have to get loaded no matter what.
it doesn't make any difference how bad I want to get loaded or how long it lasts. I don't have to get loaded no matter what. And I am so grateful for that knowledge. I'm grateful for a man who could sit in a meeting and tell me that he still wanted to get loaded after years and years and years of being clean. You know, I'm grateful for somebody who would sit in a meeting and say, I had a drug dream last night and it really messed me up. You know, I'm grateful for my home group and for all the members of my home group that are sitting in this room. There are a lot of people in this room right now that that are here from Portland and my home group is what it is, a Tuesday night meeting in Portland, Oregon. And if you ask any home group member, will tell you it's the best after meeting in Portland. and that's how I feel about my meeting today. You know, I've done a lot of service work there too, and sometimes that just means that I show up and I share. You know, sometimes it means I just show up, because sometimes that's the best I can do. You know, and I didn't come here. I got clean. I got, you know, there was a time when the first step, I think, that happened to me before I ever got clean. You know, I was sitting in my room one time, and I had all those drugs in front of me, maybe three or four different kinds of drugs, and I thought, oh, my God, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. And I looked at that stuff, and I knew I wasn't going to stop until it was all gone. And I went, oh, my God, I'm a junkie. That, I think, is when the first step happened to me. I knew my life was unmanageable. I knew that I was powerless over drugs, and it was never going to... But I also knew that once I was a junkie, it was all over. There was no way out, and I was going to live like that forever. And after I came to the program in Narcotics Anonymous and it found me, I learned that that wasn't true. I learned that I could get clean and never have to use drugs again. You know, I didn't necessarily get the second step right away. I knew there was a power greater than me because there were a whole bunch of them. There were drugs, and there were, you know, government, and, you know, there could have been a God, and I was pretty sure there must have been something there because I was still alive and my kids were still taken care of. But there's no way there was a power great enough to restore me to sanity, because I was an absolute mess when I walked into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I couldn't sit still. I couldn't share coherently. I couldn't come out of my room, and I cried every minute of a lot of the time. You know, and I wanted to get loaded, and it was never going to stop. What I discovered by working the rest of the steps, you know, with the fourth step, I learned about myself. You know, and sharing that with my sponsor, I learned about my character defects and what I, you know, what they were. And with six and seven, I learned how to do what to do about them. You know, and I got to start the process of having them removed. You know, I have a lot of character defects today that pop up from time to time. With 8 and 9, I got to repair some of the damage that I did out there. And with 10, I get to keep my character defects from causing more damage in here that'll get me back out there. You know, it isn't that I don't make mistakes. It isn't that I don't do things that I have to make amends for. It's that I know what to do when I do. You know, with 11, I get to pray about that stuff, and I get to let God take it. And I get to let God show me what to do about it and how to take care of myself. And with 12, I get to give all that stuff that I learned in the first 11 steps to you, you know, and to everybody else that I come across. You know, my mother, she says things to me like, I don't understand why you still have to go to that meetings. You know, she dropped me off at a meeting one time in South Carolina where she lived and I didn't. And she was about 25 minutes late coming back to pick me up. She was really loaded. And all the way back to the house, she says, I don't understand why you have to keep going to the meetings. Doesn't it just keep bringing it up for you, talking about drugs all the time? I'm like, I can't explain it to you, Mama. I just can't. You know, unless you've been here, you can't get it. With meetings for me,
One is too many and a thousand's never enough. I came to my first meeting and I learned there was a new way to live. And that was all it took. You know, to know that I want to go back out there. And for me, a thousand is never going to be enough. I have to keep coming to meetings for the rest of my life so that I can keep renewing what I need and keep giving back. Because if I don't give it back, where is it going to go? I don't know. I think Narcotics Anonymous could die, it could live without me. But there's so much here to give. There's so much for me to feel a part of. You know, if each one of us feels like that, that it could live without us, then, and we all went away after we got clean and we've been clean for a while, then who'd be left to carry the message to the newcomer? So one of us could go away and Narcotics Anonymous would live, but if one of us stays and carries the message, then each of us knows we need to just keep coming back, you know, and keep sharing that message. And how long have I talked? Okay. And so when I share this message with you, I hope that you find something here in this program, this weekend, that keeps you coming back. That you can share with somebody else that can help them come back. You know, I just want to remember on a regular basis that there's another way to live. You know, in this book, which I went through extensively, it says right here at the beginning, of the personal stories, it says, my gratitude speaks when I care and when I share the NA way. And in the personal stories, which I didn't read when I first got clean, it's all these people who are caring enough to share the NA way and share what Narcotics Anonymous has done for them and how it's changed their life. I read that stuff one day, and I realized how it could change my life. I read the first part of the book, and I realized what my life had been like before I got here and what it could be like. And in the back of this book, it says, you look up gratitude, and there's 8 or 10 different places where you can find what you need. But there's also a whole index of stuff. If you don't know how to find the answer to what you're going through, look it up in the index of one of these books, of some of the literature, because it's in there. You find it in the back of the book, and you can go through and you can read it, and the answer is there somewhere. And if it's not, it kept you clean for a couple of hours anyway. You know. And it's on the back of the coin. It's on the walls of lots of the meetings that I go. This is how we do it. We share it with others so that we can keep it. And I do have a lot of gratitude for this program. I got a daughter who's an addict. I got a daughter who knows she's an addict. She's been clean for a while. When I got clean, my children started following me around from meeting to meeting to make sure I wasn't getting loaded in between meetings. And what happened was, they heard the message. They were teenagers, and they'd been using. And after a while, they got, you know, clean one by one. My daughters got about 15 months clean. Then they figured out they were teenagers. And my son had about 26 months clean. Then he hung out with one of my relatives. I love my relatives. But you can't stay clean if you hang out with them. But they got a foundation, too. And what I know is my oldest daughter, she doesn't have to come to these rooms today. She has a life, and it's a good life for her, and she's young, and she holds a job, and she takes care of things, and she pays her bills, and her life is good. But if that changes, she's got a foundation in Narcotics Anonymous, and she knows what to do. And one of the reasons why is because I stayed here. You know, my other daughter, she figured out that she had a problem, and she had to do that the hard way. You know, because I'm in recovery, and God gave me a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I had a place to live, but I was like $2,000 behind on the rent, literally. And I had a car that was held together with duct tape and bungee cords, and I still had my kids. And I wasn't dead yet. You know, but that's what I had when I came to the program in Narcotics Anonymous. And since then, it's given me a whole bunch of stuff. You know, one of the things that God gave me was some houses. You know, God and Narcotics Anonymous gave me some houses. And I recognized that when I got the first one. Because when I applied for this loan, there wasn't a prayer in hell. And it wasn't my doing because I don't know how the hell it happened, but I wound up with this house. And the reason I did is because every time a problem came up, something, a power way greater than me solved that problem. And Narcotics Anonymous helped because when there were a whole bunch of things that needed to be done with that house so it would pass to get the loan, dozens of people from Narcotics Anonymous came to my home and they fixed that stuff so that the loan would go through. So Narcotics Anonymous gave me these places, and as a result, I give these places back to Narcotics Anonymous because every single one of my houses is filled with people in recovery. Some of the people who live in or have lived in those houses are here today. And those houses belong to Narcotics Anonymous. They belong to God. I got my name on some of the paperwork, but they're going to go from God and Narcotics Anonymous to my kids, and they're just going to pass through me. And but as a result of having these houses and having them filled with people in recovery, when my daughter got loaded, she didn't have anywhere to live. Because the rule was that if you were getting loaded, you couldn't live in the house, which means the girl couldn't come home. And she stayed a lot of different places, and she went through a lot of really bad stuff. And it was the hardest time of my life. And there were times when she'd come to the house. Sometimes I'd let her take a shower and I'd give her some food and maybe even let her sleep it off before I sent her on the way. And she'd be just as fun as it could be. And I'd say, no, I don't have no money for you. And you can't stay here. And she would leave and I would bawl. In the program, in Narcotics Anonymous, there were people here that would hold me while I did it. And she'd go away, and she'd come back. And people in my group, support group, people who knew her, people who loved me, and people who loved her would share with her, or they would be kind to her, or they would feed her, but we didn't give her money, and we didn't give her a place to live. And one day she came and she said, I don't want to live like this anymore, Mom. And the people let her stay. And she got clean for a couple of months and she got loaded. She went out for the weekend and she came home and I said, you know what, I can't make this decision. If these people decide that you can stay, this is their home. And I'm too close to this one, so they get to make the decision, and whatever they decide, that's what we're going to live with. And what they did was they put her on contract, and they let her come back into the house, and they let her stay, and that girl's got almost 2 years clean now. And she secretaries a meeting that she started for young people. She started that meeting for young people, and you know what? She goes to that meeting every single week. It doesn't matter if she's the only one that sits in that room when other people don't show up. She sits in that room and she stays there every week. And she makes sure that that door is open if somebody else wants to go and that girl's still clean. And she sponsors this woman and she has a sponsor and she works the steps. And she does the program in Narcotics Anonymous of recovery. and she goes to meetings. And I got a son who, you know, he may never need this program. That boy came to my birthday and he shared about how he hurt himself, and he went to, you know, a doctor, and they gave him this prescription for Vicodin, and he didn't need it, and he didn't fill it, and his friends were like, well, just fill it and give it to us, we'll buy it from you. And he said, no, I'm going to do that because that's not right. Well, that boy is not an addict. You know, and if that changes, he knows what to do. But, you know, if I had a prescription, I'd have taken it, whether I needed it or not. And if somebody had offered to buy it for me, I'd have sold it to him so I could get better drugs. So, you know, if that changes, he's got a foundation in his program and he knows what to do. And that's because of Narcotics Anonymous. It's because somebody, somewhere in the beginning, cared enough to share the NA way and teach us how to stay clean just for today. And so just for today, we don't have to get loaded no matter what. And if you're new and you just got to this program, and if you feel like shit, and if you're hurting so bad you don't know what to do, I only have one thing for you. You never have to feel this way again. You know, you can feel better every day. Doesn't mean sometimes it ain't going to suck, because sometimes it will. Sometimes it sucked for me really bad. But what I know is even the things that sucked, they were worth it. You know, even the things that didn't turn out the way I expected them to, they were worth it. And so just for today, I'm going to keep coming back. And hopefully you got something, you'll get something this weekend that'll keep you coming back too. Thank you very much for listening.
Let's thank Buddy and Cindy for speaking. And I have asked an addict to read, We Do Recover.
My name's Holly, and I have the disease of addiction. And this is We Do Recover. When at the end of the road, we find we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on as best we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to all of us. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious, program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
I've also asked an addict to read just for today.
My name is Tully, and I'm an addict. Just for today, tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. Follow that way. I have nothing to lose. Right on.
Okay, we're going to close the meeting in the regular fashion. We're going to get in a circle.